Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go.
Welcome to Saturday Frights, the podcast. I am your co-host, the projectionist. And now, for your host, Vic Sage.
Welcome back, friends, to the Saturday Frights podcast. This time I'm going solo, as the projectionist has yet to return from his little vacation in Haddonfield. For this show, I've picked an episode from the very popular and long-running Alfred Hitchcock Presents TV anthology series, entitled The Landlady. This is our first Alfred Hitchcock episode actually on the podcast. Alfred Hitchcock Presents, along with Rod Serling's The Twilight Zone, in my personal opinion, represents some of the greatest examples of writing for television. My first introduction to the works of Alfred Hitchcock was thanks to a TV station I've mentioned before on the podcast, WTBS, or the Superstation as it was once called. On Sunday afternoons after breakfast, my father and I could always count on some classic films to keep us entertained, like when they played Hitchcock's 1963 masterpiece, The Birds. This was a case, much like when I was three and originally saw Frankenstein on The Late Show. I was glued to the television set, and when it was over, it was like I was waking from a dream. Until my father said we had to take a quick trip to the store, and we opened the door to find a large gathering of blackbirds sitting on the power lines. As my father slammed the door, the birds all took flight, and I admit that I jumped back against the door. I didn't actually get to catch the Alfred Hitchcock Presents TV show until many years later when Nick at Night started to show them. I'm not positive about this, but I think it was just before NBC began their 1985 reboot of the series. Alfred Hitchcock Presents originally debuted on the CBS network back on October 2nd, 1955, where it would remain until 1960, being brought back again in 1962 until 1964, while at the same time being shown on NBC starting in 1960 and finishing its run in 1965, with a combined total of 10 seasons and 360 episodes. Even if you haven't had the pleasure of seeing an episode for yourself, you'll certainly know its intro, with the famous line character of Alfred Hitchcock appearing on screen, followed by the director's silhouette, and its opening theme of the Funeral March of a Marionette. That opens the show, by the way, was actually drawn by Hitchcock himself. Time magazine has gone on record and ranked the show in their list for the 100 best TV shows of all time, and the Writers Guild of America has ranked it 79 on their 101 best written TV series. It's actually tied with Star Trek The Next Generation, Upstairs Downstairs, and Monty Python's Flying Circus. Esteemed company, to be sure. Notable writers who worked on the show included Twilight Zone's own Charles Beaumont, Ray Bradbury, Sterling Siliphant, Michael Pertwee, and Robert Bloch, to name a few. The episode I will be talking about this go-around had its teleplay written by Robert Bloch of Psycho fame, based on the short story by Roald Dahl. Dahl had won the Edgar Allan Poe Award in 1960 for The Landlady, just a year after it was published in the November 28, 1959 issue of The New Yorker. Bloch seemed perfect for writing the teleplay for what was then the sixth season of Alfred Hitchcock Presents. The Landlady was in fact the third teleplay that Bloch had crafted for the series, with his second, The Greatest Monster of Them All, having just aired the previous week on February 14th. The Landlady opens in the small town of Bramley, where we are quickly introduced to the local bartender, Wilkins, and three of his loyal patrons, played by legendary character actors Burt Mustin, Barry Harvey, and George Pelling. The men are discussing a matter of great importance. Of late, there has been a rash of burglaries that has been plaguing the sleepy little town. That is the moment that we are introduced to our main protagonist, Billy Weaver, played by Dean Stockwell, a young man, a stranger in town, who has just arrived by train looking for a bite to eat. when a few minutes later, Wilkins complains about his cash register being jammed, the rather scholarly Billy lets himself behind the bar and pops it open with a quick bit of work on the lock, thanks to his Swiss Army knife. Friends, it's pretty easy to see why Wilkins and the men in the bar start to cast furtive glances at each other regarding this new arrival, right? Moments ago, they were discussing these brash robberies, and now Billy goes and demonstrates he's rather handy with a Swiss Army knife and locks. The way that Dean Stockwell portrays Weaver is best described as being timid, and in some ways I suppose he's a pretty heedless individual. After finishing his meal, Billy leaves the bar. Being a stranger in Bramley, he's of course concerned about where he's going to stay. Thankfully, he all but turns the corner to spy a sign proclaiming rooms for rent, or let in this case, and this is how we meet our second protagonist, the landlady, played perfectly by Alfred Hitchcock alumna Patricia Collins, who was in his 1943 film Shadow of a Doubt. The landlady herself is everything you'd expect from your grandmother, or possibly an aunt. She is so pleased to meet Billy, almost fretting over him the minute he walks in through the door. We the viewers can't help but feel bad for the widower. She's obviously dying for company. Billy can't believe his good fortune. The price is more than reasonable, and the landlady is all too happy to treat him like a member of her family, even calling her home her little nest. Before Billy is led up the stairs to his own room, which is quite cozy looking and well kept, he can't help but be concerned for the older woman. She is so inviting and trusting. He mentions what he heard the men in the bar talking about, that of the burglar. The landlady merely laughs off his remark because, as she points out, who would want to hurt a little old lady? Why would the burglar want to rob her? She doesn't have anything of real worth. Billy settles in and finds the landlady charming, even if she happens to be absent-minded, more than once calling him by the wrong name. While the two are visiting down in the parlor, she casually mentions the other boarders that are staying with them. Billy, the evening before, had quite thought he was the only other soul staying in the house. But the landlady explains there are in fact two other young gentlemen. Billy thinks it's odd that he hasn't heard from them or bumped into them yet. He also finds their names of particular interest. He can't put his finger on it, but he knows for a fact he's heard their names before. Later on that day, as Billy's about to leave on business, he's stopped by the landlady. For one thing, it's absolutely pouring cats and dogs outside, and she advises him to join her for tea to see if the storm passes. Billy is happy to do so, and we learn that the landlady has two more pieces of information for him. The first is that over the radio, it had been announced that the burglar that was terrorizing Bramley had been apprehended. The other is that his two fellow boarders had returned while he was upstairs. Oddly enough, she even says he can check that their coats are hanging in the hallway, almost like she doubts he will believe her. But on the other hand, that is exactly what the young man does, except curious indeed. The coats are bone dry. Billy returns to the parlor and is surprised to find that the landlady also happens to be a rather skilled taxidermist. She offhandedly comments that she always stuffs her pets when they pass on, so that they can stay with her forever. Which, we can see she has done with her parrot and her dog. Billy is rather impressed by her skill and remarks that he truly thought they were living, breathing animals, when it occurs to him where he had heard the names of his fellow boarders before. It was in the newspaper a few years back. The two men had been reported missing. The landlady assures him that he must be mistaken, as they join her regularly every Sunday to sing their favorite hymns. And we're going to stop with a synopsis for the landlady right there, so as not to ruin the entire episode. But hopefully I've given you enough of a taste of the mystery that you will want to find out what happens for yourself. I also feel I should add that I wish you luck on finding it. We had an incident down here in the Retroist Vault where the film print kind of got chewed up a little in the projector. I'm sure I'll not hear the end of that from the projectionist when he gets back. So I thought I might turn to the internet for help. I was able to watch it on YouTube before hours later it was yanked down. I couldn't find it again on the likes of iTunes, Hulu, or even Amazon. Though you can find Roald Dahl's Tales of the Unexpected episode online if you'd like to get another take on the story. It looks like the only choice we have to revisit this particular episode of Alfred Hitchcock Presents is to pick up the Season 6 DVD set. Before I jump into the notable cast and crew, I need to share these choice television ads that the projectionist had Daniel 13 bring up earlier.
Good evening, fellow necromaniacs. I'm glad so many of you could come. I should explain that the word has nothing to do with nephew.
Weeknight on 21. Alfred Hitchcock has the prescription for suspense. Shock suspense stories from the dark side.
How did you find me? I specifically asked for an unlisted channel.
All week at 10, Alfred Hitchcock presents...
Oh! Now, why would he do that? Most peculiar.
There's no reason to be afraid.
Birds are not aggressive creatures, miss. They bring beauty into the world.
That might be true for one bird, but thousands of birds? That's a different story.
I hardly think a few birds are going to bring about the end of the world.
I think you're the cause of all this. I think you're evil!
One of the most terrifying films of all time. The Birds.
The director for The Landlady was none other than Paul Henreid, who you might know better as being Victor Laszlo in 1943's Casablanca. It seems that in 1952, he began to direct for TV shows like 1959's Maverick, 1960's Thriller, and of course for Alfred Hitchcock Presents. Paul directed 28 episodes from 1957 until 1962, even joining up with Dean Stockwell once again for the Alfred Hitchcock Hour in 1962 for the episode entitled Annabelle. Robert Bloch, as I've already mentioned, worked with Hitchcock on 1960's Psycho, but he also provided stories and teleplays for a total of 10 episodes of Alfred Hitchcock Presents. He too worked on the 1960s series Thriller, and even wrote the teleplay for his own short story, The Weird Tailor, The Devil's Ticket, and Waxworks for that particular series. He wrote the screenplay for 1972's awesome anthology picture, Asylum, and even for Tales from the Dark Side and Monsters.
May I have your attention, please? Will the owner of a DeLorean with a California license plate please report to reception? You are parked in an illegal space and are about to get towed. Thanks for listening to this announcement, and I hope you have a great day.
Oh man, that sounds like Atari Adventure Square's vehicle. I hope you can get down there in time. Dean Stockwell has had a very long career and currently has 203 acting credits to his name, with appearances in the likes of 1945's Anchors Away, 1949's The Secret Garden, 1959's Compulsion, multiple guest appearances on Wagon Train, two episodes of The Twilight Zone with 1959's The 16mm Shrine, and 1961's A Quality of Mercy. He was also in 1970's The Dunwich Horror, where he played Wilbur Whatley, and in 1973's The Werewolf of Washington. But, to most fans, he's probably best known for portraying Al for 97 episodes of the popular NBC series Quantum Leap. Patricia Collins had 23 acting credits to her name when she passed away on April 10, 1974. She had notable roles in 1941's Little Foxes, where she co-starred with Betty Davis and Teresa Wright, who she would co-star with again in 1943's A Shadow of a Doubt, and again in 1944's Casanova Brown, along with Gary Cooper. She was in 1951's Teresa and 1959's The Nun's Story. Between 1955 and 1961, she would appear three more times on Alfred Hitchcock Presents, with the episodes The Cheney Vase, The Rose Garden, and Across the Threshold. While she may not have many film and TV credits to her name, she was quite popular on the stage. Friends, I think that about wraps up this episode of the Saturday Frights podcast. Hopefully, the projectionist will have returned by the time of the next show. I want to thank you for listening to the Saturday Frights podcast. If you did enjoy the show, I hope you'll hop on over to The Retroist every Saturday, where we present everything from classic horror TV shows to the best in frightening shorts. The music you hear on the show was provided by Peachy. If you'd like to contact him, you may do so at peachy@retroist.com. That is peachy@retroist.com. If you are new to our show, we do have a Saturday Frights Facebook page as well. and we would greatly appreciate it if you could stop by and give us a like, or even let others know about it. It's another spot where we can share our love of retro horror with you and not have to wait until Saturday to do so. Our podcast is available on iTunes and Stitcher, and we would certainly appreciate it if you could click subscribe. Maybe even leave us a nice review if you were pleased with our work. I can be found nearly every day on The Retroist. If you have any suggestions for future shows or even feedback, you can contact me at vicsage@retroist.com. We owe a great debt of gratitude to The Retroist himself for not only allowing us to record here in The Retroist vault, but hosting the podcast as well. When you have retro needs, and we all do, just head over to www.retroist.com. Until next time, the vault is sealed.
Drive away your worries and cares at this drive-in theater, where you will see the finest motion pictures of all time soon to be released. Drama, comedy, adventure, excitement, something for everyone. Here's a brief glimpse of some of the truly fine pictures we've scheduled in the near future.
They only come out at night. They're mean, rude, and dead. Not them. Them.
There's 100 of those things out there.
How many did you say?
100.
The dead are refusing to remain buried.
What are we going to do?
What are we going to do?
We're going to call the boss.
They've come back to life. They're hungry. And they're not vegetarians.
There's a graveyard out there full of people coming out of the ground.
We have a little problem.
What the hell is going on here?
Rabbit weasels.
What?
More brains.
Do you want a party? It's party time. We got a party. It's party time. Do you want a party?
They're back from the grave and ready to party.
It's party time!
The return of the living dead.
This has been a Retroist production. Goodbye, and we hope to see you next time.